Okay.
Recording.
I just as a disclaimer, if anyone's wondering why we're not learning anything about the 3 weeks and the 9 days, so I didn't forget about it. Baruch Hashem, over the last couple of years, we've covered a lot of those sugyas, and they're all up online. They're on the YU Torah, they're on the Young Israel's website. So if you want to learn more about any of those topics, please just search. We've talked about 3 weeks, we've talked about 9 days, we've talked about a lot of these topics in the past. So I just figured, trying to keep things fresh and new, we've been in the middle of a topic over here. But believe me, there, Mr. Hashem, next Tuesday, we will go back to discussing in Yonad Yom. We'll probably have a shiur entitled When Tisha B'Av Falls on Shabbos, which I think we had the exact same shiur 2 years ago, but don't tell anyone. It's also up on the website. But believe Tisha, next Tuesday, we will go back to in Yonad Yom and take a little break from what we're discussing over here. But again, not that we should be learning in Yonad Yom, but again, Baruch Hashem, over the years, we've covered a lot of the topics. Some of the interesting things you want to take a listen to is maybe we talked about going on vacation during the 9 days. You want to take a listen, things like that. But it's all up there, Baruch Hashem. So take a listen on your own. Okay, we're holding in the middle of an interesting topic over here. We've been discussing lefties and tefillin. So we mentioned last week from the Gemara. We had a Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Menachos is quite clear that you're supposed to a lefty is supposed to put tefillin on his right arm, and a righty is supposed to put tefillin on his left arm. The Gemara didn't even have two opinions; it didn't even have a machlokes. It seemed to be undisputed, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch: lefty puts tefillin on his right arm, righty puts tefillin on his left arm. No machlokes, no issues, no problems. However, we did come across a very fascinating Me'iri Masechta Shabbos, and the Me'iri Masechta Shabbos says no, a lefty puts tefillin on his left arm, and we had a lot of trouble with this Me'iri. We said it was a steer to another Me'iri. And then we also came across a shita for Reb Yaakov Tzemach. And the Shari Tshuva quotes Reb Yaakov Tzemach. It says Marit Tzemach. So I did a lot of research over the week. Who's the Marit Tzemach? So the Marit Tzemach was Reb Yaakov Tzemach. Now, who's Reb Yaakov Tzemach? So fascinating life, Reb Yaakov Tzemach. He was a Portuguese Jew in the 17th century whose family was Anusim. What are Anusim from Portugal? You know, now we're getting into the Tisha B'Av season. So Anusim from Portugal means they were Jews who were forced to live closed Jews, closet Jews. On the outward, they have to act like Christians, and only inward were they Jewish. So he grew up in Portugal, which we know Portugal not shortly after the first, it's not that many years after 1492, when many of the Jews ran from Spain to Portugal. 6 years later, they were kicked out of Portugal as well. So his family was raised as Anusim, and he was a medical doctor. And then at some point in his life, he went out of Portugal, made his way to Eretz Yisrael, where he can practice what we'd call today, be open about his orthodoxy, not open orthodoxy, but open about his orthodoxy. And be careful what you say today. And he could be a regular Yid, and he went and he studied learning, and he ended up becoming a Talmud of Reb Shmuel Vital. Shmuel Vital was the son of Reb Chaim Vital, great Kabbalist. So he's known as a very Choshev Mekubal, 17th century. And he also writes, and this is why it's important for the Chassidim. I mean, the Chassidim aren't moved by a Me'iri, but they're moved by this Psak of Reb Yaakov Tzemach, Marit Tzemach, quoted by the Shari Tshuva, who also says that lefties put tefillin on their left arm. Now, we'll see, halacha l'maaseh, how does this all play out? So if you remember, so there should be two handouts that we have. One is a booklet and one is an individual paper. So in the booklet, we're holding over here on page two. In the booklet, page two, we were just discussing, we left off last week, if you remember, we were discussing the Klausenberger Rebbe's approach. The Klausenberger Rebbe's approach to this Me'iri was he was debating the discussion about the reason why a lefty should put tefillin on his left arm is because you have to have an alav avech. The Gemara makes a drush in the name of Reb Yitzchak that tefillin have to be opposite your heart, and since your left hand is opposite your heart, so even lefties have to put tefillin on their arm. That was the argument that the Klausenberger Rebbe made, and we left off with a pshat from a sefer that said, no, the lefties perhaps have their heart on the other side of their body, and that always made for a fun discussion. But if you do take a look over at number 21, a fascinating tshuva from the Eretz Tzvi. So the Eretz Tzvi was the Tzvi Klozhigover. Tzvi Klozhigover was the Rav of the town of Klozhigov, but perhaps more famously, he was Rosh Yeshiva in Lublin after Meir Shapiro died. Very sad how Meir Shapiro put so much energy into building the Lublin Yeshiva, only to die very shortly after it was put up, and he had no children. So the Rosh Yeshiva wasn't so posh who was going to take him over. Like everything in life is never simple. But ultimately, the Yeshiva was taken over by Rav Tzvi Freimer, who was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, a great Gadol and a great big Gadol and a Goyin. Sadly, he was murdered by the Nazis in 1941. He was taken, I think they say, Madanik concentration camp, like many other Jews, and he was killed in the Holocaust. But we have his Chuvis. But listen to the Shail. Now, the reason I'm giving you the background is because he didn't live 300 years ago. He died in the Holocaust, which means he lived in the bulk of the 20th century. And listen to the Shail, someone asked him, number 21. Nishalti mi borcho echot shayichoyle. bacher who was sick, umunach b'shpital, to Paul, he was in a hospital. Ubotko harayfim, the doctors checked him. They did a cardio workup. Umatzu shahalev munach etzle b'tzad yamin. The cardiologist came back with the following sock. You know why he's not feeling well? Because his heart is on the right side of his body. Now, if you go to a hospital, they tell you that, get a second opinion. Okay? Okay, so I have a really good malpractice lawyer. I don't know how you want to look at it. No plugs there, okay? Right? So Zakhti Aretzvi, been a stopping. This is the way a Torah-like person, they're always thinking about Torah. So the boy said to himself, oy vey, my heart is now on the right side of my body. Maybe I have to switch my tefillin. Because the reason why we put tefillin on our left hand is because the left hand is opposite the heart. But the doctors say, my heart is on the right side, so maybe I have to switch my tefillin. So he writes, min estapik im yenich tefillin b'yamin. Direct boy, you see, my negra life. This was, now the reason why I'm bringing this out is because this was not like 1600s, 1700s, where we didn't know which way was up. We're talking about sometime in the earlier half of the 20th century, which means they were still open to this notion that people can have their hearts on their right side. So listen to what he answers. He says, Nira, if you remember, we had two Gemaras of Menachos. One Gemara Menachos discussed which arm to put the tefillin on, and one Gemara discussed where on the arm to put the tefillin. And the first time we were exposed to opposite the heart was not into which arm to put the tefillin, it was where on the arm to put the tefillin. So the Klozhigov says the same point. He says, Raksham Amid Beis Darshu Kain, then you make Makam Menachos tefillin. One second. If you need to put tefillin on your left arm because it needs to be opposite your heart, so why didn't the Gemara say that? When the Gemara is looking for sources, the Hadi no tefillin was on the left. So if you remember, the Gemara had a whole list of sources. Why didn't the Gemara say Pashit? Because it has to be Alovech. Must be that that's not a deciding factor. He says, you see from here, it's only with regard to where on the arm. Then he says the best part, Oid Raya Mi'iter, says the Eretz Tzvi, I'll prove to you that you don't need to put your tefillin opposite your heart. From a lefty, the Kaimelon, the Meniach Tefillin B'Smol D'Day, we know tefillin, put tefillin on, lefties put tefillin on their left arm, meaning their weaker arm, which is their right. Avogav the Mistamo Liboy B'Smol, right? He assumes that probably lefties have their heart on the left side, Kichol Adam. He Nei Deloy Boi Sima Samachol. Says there, Eretz Tzvi, meaning he brings this as a Raya. What we wanted to say to explain why lefties were put on the left, he brings it right. The fact that lefties don't put it on the left, they put it on the right, is a right that there's no such thing connected on leave. And therefore, he points out, Allah Almighty, he tells the boy, don't worry, don't stress about it. Maybe, you know, get a different cardiologist, but either way, you don't have to worry about your tone. So, those gufa. What we wanted to use to answer these achrayim, these rishayim, the Eretz Tzvi is rejected. So, Allah Almighty, what should a lefty do? Should a lefty taka put tefillin on his left arm? It's against the Shulchan Aruch. But there's a Mi'iri. So again, most of us don't lose too much sleep over a Mi'iri because Mi'iri only first surfaced in the 20th century. Not that he lived in the 20th century, but he first surfaced. But you have this Marit Tzemach, this Reb Yaakov Tzemach. So most of you, myself included, till last week never heard of Reb Yaakov Tzemach. But those who know things know Reb Yaakov Tzemach is a big person. He was a big Pesik. He was a big Mekubal. So in the Svaradish and the Chassidish world, he carries a lot of weight. So because the Shari Tshuva quotes such a shita, where does that leave us now? So most of us, Litvisha people would say, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? It says in Shulchan Aruch, lefties put on their right arm and the sugi, right? That's the Litvisha approach, which is probably the right approach. But take a look to the Kaf HaChaim. Kaf HaChaim was Svardi. Kaf HaChaim is like the Mishnah Berurah for the Svardi. That's what he writes over here. He writes, Omnom, Harav Marit Tzemach B'Sefer Zezohov Herich, the Reb Yaakov Tzemach, 17th century. They hear the Biraya Shita Yadimina in Rashad Hashan from Shakodam. And he brings proof that a lefty has to put his tefillin on his left arm. Now, the problem, whatever svaris you're going to tell me is, it's against the Gemara. You got to be able to answer up the Gemara. So we had to root to maybe the Klausenberg Rebbe wanted to answer up the Gemara. But it is the simple reading of the Gemara in Menachos is very clear. Lefties put tefillin on their right arm. End of story. But okay, says the Kaf HaChaim. And that was the opinion of the Arizal. Not just Reb Yaakov Tzemach, but the Arizal. Now, according to what we're saying now, Reb Yaakov Tzemach studied under the son of Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital was the Talmud Muvik of the Arizal. It would make a lot of sense. But now it's an Arizal. Now it's even more of a reason to be chayshish for it. Al-Kain, halach l'maisa. Misha who eat there, someone's a lefty. Let's say you have a real lefty. Does everything with his left hand. not the complicated lefties. Listen to what he paskins. Meiniach tefillin biyatzmoy loyshu yimin shakolavim. So he puts tefillin on his right arm. Umevarach alav umespalabal. Avada, his tefillin and shul are going to be righty. They're going to be lefty tefillin. Why? Because that's what he's supposed to do. Keep him to eat. Means he puts tefillin on his right arm.
Right arm.
He puts it on his right arm. Right, on his weaker arm, like it says in Shulchan Aruch. Rak achar hatfilu kishiyachlu it's hatfilin choyzer meniach biyatzmo shel kol adam. And then after davening the kaf achayim, he should put tefillin on his left arm. K'dei lot say, si dei choyva ladaf maritzemach varizal. To be choyshish with these achrenim.
So it doesn't change Shulchan Aruch.
He doesn't change Shulchan Aruch, but he adds. But he adds on Shulchan Aruch. Which is what we saw grabbing the Marsham. Marsham wanted to, maybe that's what the Me'iri meant. That when the Me'iri said a lefty puts it on his left arm, he didn't mean against the Gemara. He meant on top of the Gemara. The Gemara says a lefty puts it on his right arm. Zok the Me'iri and his left also. Does both. Now that's, for those people that are trying to catch the train at the end of davening, every minute counts, you got to have another pair of tefillin now. That's an extra expense to our mitzvah bowl.
No, you're subverting.
Oh, the question is if you can invert the knot. Yeah. That's what some people do. They invert the knot. Turn it around. Right. So now, who else paskins like this? So take a look over here. The Klausenberger Rebbe, Divrei Yatziv. Says the Klausenberger Rebbe, he says, Hagam shekifi hanirim minhag ha'olam she'ita minyach b'yimei kol adam. Says the Klausenberger Rebbe, I know that the accepted practice is that a lefty puts tefillin on his right arm. Ulam, lebnei Torah hamedachtikim b'mitzvahs. Says the Klausenberger Rebbe, for those bnei Torah, or those people that are careful with mitzvahs, ani oimer she'anichu achar ha'tefillah al smoylam. I suggest that after davening, they put tefillin on again on their left hand. They lotzis, they choyvas she'itas ha'mitzemach, shahayim megidoyla ha'mekubolam. Says the Klausenberger Rebbe, he's one of the G'dayla Mekubalim. It seems like not. It seems like you got to have one or the other. K'moshe heid olav achidah. Right. They do that. Like the Chidah writes, M'sefer Shem HaG'dayla Marecha Zohar Zohar. The Chidah says how choshev this Rebbe Yaakov Tzemach was. So the Klausenberger Rebbe holds that again, he doesn't say it's a chiyuv, but he suggests that they should put tefillin on the left.
Would you have to make a bracha?
Right. So most of us would say that we don't take these mikubalim into as much consideration. Yeah, that reason. Right. So we'll see. It's not so much that reason. I really said it. Well,
would you?
We're going to see the second.
Would you have to?
But they put two on at the same time. Yeah, they do put that. I don't know if you do two on the different arms. That might. Right. So here we're suggesting you're going to put on two of the seven arm. That's already not going to be done. Yeah, Michael?
Well, according to them, would you have to make a bracha fill it again?
Yeah, Michael, what?
According to them, would you have to make a bracha again?
No, because the Kaf HaChaim already points out that Avada, when you put on this tefillin, you're not going to make a bracha. The Kaf HaChaim writes, he said that when you put on the second pier afterwards, you Avada don't make a bracha. That's the Kaf HaChaim already writes. Because again, we know it's only Mechumra, so you're not going to make a bracha. Then he writes
the
over here.
People that put on Rabbeinu Tam don't make a separate bracha or not?
No, they don't.
Oh, they don't. Okay.
No. So we have over here the Klausenberger Rebbe paskening. What? Oh, you do it? Yeah. No, is it because you're a Suffolk lefty or you're a Vade lefty?
No, I'm mostly right, but they're saying
so that's probably why they switch it. Meaning, we're talking about a case of a Vade left. You're doing it because you're choishish for the three-way machloikis of how to define a lefty versus a righty. Here we're talking about a guy who's a Vade lefty, not a Shaila. And if I'll pick it, he's going to put someone on again. Right, your case is a little easier.
Right.
So that's.
I shoot it with the right.
Right. So that's the machloikis. What do you do ksiva with? Which hand do you write with?
I write with my right hand. I have a feeling it's the way
to
do it.
Oh, yeah?
It's so sloppy.
Uh-huh. So you start to switch it up.
Right.
So.
Like,
it's a left? Wow. Have a rive of Tashmisha, you'd say, is with the right. Right, so it sounds like you were just doing this out suffic because you're not sure if you're lefty or righty. But that's a question. That's going to be the next book that we're going to get to in a second. How to define that? How do you define your weaker hand versus your stronger hand? Is it used more? Now, we're going to talk about a case of, let's say, a stroke victim. So now he has paralysis. We'll see. We'll get to believe that. That's the next book we'll get to in a second. Yeah. Right.
So he is righty, but in best surgery, the fine motor.
He uses his left.
Always the left. So he holds the. That's his parnassa, so he thinks it's more. He's more of a lefty, So he switched to put it on.
Yeah, right. I would tell him to put on both for sure. Because Shulchan Aruch doesn't use that description. It's nice.
But when he does surgery, it's always the left hand with the stronger hand. But other
things. So that's a different question.
He says that Moshe's father had a child by the son and brought him into his room.
Yeah.
And then he staged it that somebody would knock on the door. He asked the boy to go ahead and open up the door.
Hey, so which hand is open?
Right here.
Yeah. Okay. Right, so that this topic I grabbed and decided not to get into. Maybe I should have. It seems like it's more exciting. But how to define a righty and a lefty is quite complicated. But it's not posh. But I'm showing you over here that both the Kav HaChaim and the Kozma Rebbe both thought that a real lefty, a full-blown lefty, Nishkan Tzveikus, should still put Tefillin again on his left hand only because of this. Not even the Me'iri. They're not Choshish in the They're Choshish for this Reed Tzemach of Yaakov Tzemach, who was a great Mekubal, as well as the Arizal. Now, if you take a look on the last page, page 3, from the Satmar Rebbe, the great Divrei Yoyel. Right, so that's the assumption. The assumption is you're only going to put on one. So this idea you have to put on two is a big chiddush. So take a look over in the Divrei Yoyel. Okay, so if you look over in the Divrei Yoyel, the Satmar Rebbe writes the following. He says, Uladina, halacha l'maaseh, says the Satmar Rebbe, Kivin sh'roiv rishayin v'cheinu b'shulchanach b'lishum chaylik d'ita yanech b'yamin. Says the Satmar Rebbe, since l'maaseh, we know the facts are, Shulchanach says lefties puts one on the right arm, and there's no two shittas in Shulchanach. Yev shal laws of Divrei Shulchanach, you can't go against the Shulchanach. Avol hecha she'eini iter gamur, but says Reb Yoyel, gevaldik echidosh. Says the Satmar Rebbe, let's say you have a Suffolk iter. You don't know if he's a Vade lefty or Suffolk lefty. So it says that Reb Yoyel, elam is Suffolk, kimoi behar galatum ekadayme, kvar kasavdu de hecha she'e Suffolk lefi Divrei ha-tamud va-poiskim, ha-kabolam achriya. Gevaldik echidosh. Says Reb Yoyel, if you have a guy who's a Suffolk, tell him to go with the left. Because maybe you should always go on with the left, according to the Kabbalah. So since you have a Suffolk over here, maybe you should just go with the left. So according to the Satmar Rebbe, again, you got to ask your local Satmar Chassid, if you have a kid or an adult who's not sure if he's a lefty or righty, so Reb Yoyel would tell him, put it on the left, because we're Marasha. Maybe you really are a lefty, and maybe him tells him you're not a lefty, but maybe you should be putting on the left anyways, according to Alpi Kabbalah. And since you're not sure, when you're not sure, you can use the Kabbalah. That's what the Satmar Rebbe suggests. No, we're talking about a case when you have, you know, writing is one, and the when you start making lists, because again, in Shulchan Aruch, it's not so posh. Then you have a case of a Suffolk. So according to the Satmar Rebbe, if you have a case of a Suffolk, it's better to go with the left. Because why? So shtickel svek svek. But maybe anyways, you should go with the left. Then he writes at the end, gam nirish af beiter gomur, full blown lefty. Sarich acher kach loniach tefillin gam b'smol kedas harizal. He should take a put tefillin on again like the Arizal. Even though, of course, we don't go against the Shulchan Aruch, said the Satmar Rebbe, you're not going against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says lefties put it on their right arm. So you did put it on your right arm. Now you're going to put it on your left also. So I would have thought that's also going against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch said you put it only on one arm, and the one arm is the right. So then you're done. So the Satmar Rebbe is saying, no, I'm not going against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say you can't put it on another arm afterwards. It means you just have to at least put it on the right arm. So therefore, says the Satmar Rebbe, no, there's no bracha. There's no bracha here. So he suggests that that's what you should do. So again, you have to ask your local Satmar Chassid, if you know any good Satmar Chassidim who learn the Divrei Yoyels, they should know. The problem with the Divrei Yoyels are very long. You got to, maybe they are more familiar with them than the Litvishas are, but the Rebbe Yoyel Paschal is very clear. If you have a full-blown lefty, not a Suffolk lefty, he should put tefillin on his right arm, and then after that, he should take a put tefillin on his left arm to be choshish for the Arizal and the Yaakov Tzemach. Now, what happens if you're not a Satmar Chassid and you're not a Talmud of the Klausenberger Rebbe? What do you do? So I think most Litvishas, as far as I know, I can't say I took a poll. I think most Litvisha people are not Choshish for these Achrayim, and they just put Tefillin on the right arm. So that's what I think. So take a look over number 26 from the Oz Midbiru. The Oz Midbiru was Rebbe Yovan Zilber, lived in Bnei Brak, not a Chassidish at all. So they asked him the following Shaila. They asked him a more creative Shaila. Let's say you put on a Beirut Tam Tefillin. So you have to put your Abenu Tam Tefillin also first on the right and then on the left also. Me and Marsha. I think I'll be in shul all day, right? So get that train you're going to miss no matter what time you do, right? So what do you do with that? So you got to put Rashi on, you got to put Rashi first on the right, then you can put Rashi on the left, then you can put Abenu Tam on the right, and then you can put Abenu Tam on the left. You have to do that. So they asked the Oz Nidru, Ben Yabin Zilber. So he writes this, number 26. Says the Azizbu, you do not have to put tefillin on your left arm. Says the Shulchan Aruch, right arm, you don't have to be choishish. And this is what I would call the Litvish approach, is to follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Don't be, you don't have to worry about what the Shari Tshuva quoted from Rabbi Yaakov Tzemach. That's why I answered your second question. He wanted to know, do you also have to put your Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin on your left hand? Shuhu Yemin Kol Odom. V'shekein Gamdas Agoyin HaKadosh Mikamarno Agoyin HaKadosh Mimunkach. Right there. Chassidish Rebbe's were choshish for this. So again, if you're a Munkach Chassid, you might also have to put on both arms and Rabbeinu Tam also. Okay? But right at the end, Omnam Misha Roitza L'Hachmi L'Nich Gam Al Yatz Moiloi. But let's say you want to be. Right, you come out of the sugya tonight and you say there's da'a me'iri, there's an arizal, and you think you should put tefillin on your left arm. Tzarech lahachmim yoyim shenas bar mitzvah. You talk, you have to start from the day you become bar mitzvah. So I guess everyone in this room is a little too late. Ve'in hevdo ben Rashi le'Rabbeinu Tam, lo'imar shneim tzarech laniach b'yaminu b'smal. And you got to keep it for Rabbeinu Tam also. Okay? I don't know, my son, both my sons are lefties, so I don't know if I don't think I'm going to make him when he gets my mitzvah b'lachan two pairs. Yeah. I would think not.
Because either one's good or one's not. All
right, right, right. What do you mean one's good? What do you mean?
Right, no, and then flip it out. I thought we said that we shouldn't wear two
sets. You mean you want to wear both arms at the same time?
Right, but then you could get away with that having four.
I mean, if one is not really good. Sounds right. I don't know. I'm not sure. But again, as far as I came across in the typical, I would call it Litvisha style of plaque, I don't think you have to be chayshit. So let's say, for example, if you look over here in the Halacha Brura, this is Rabbi Avadya's son. Again, Rabbi Avadya did take Kafachayim into consideration, and he did take Kabbalah into consideration. But he writes like this. He says, a lefty who does everything with his left hand. And he goes with his right arm. Let's say a lefty. It's a great shayla. A lefty comes to you one day and says, you know what? I put on lefty tefillin this morning. I mean, I put on righty tefillin, meaning on my left arm. So now you start thinking to yourself, maybe b'dievet is yaitzah. There's a Meiri. There's a Rabbi Yaakov Tzemach who says, l'chatchila, you should do it this way. So maybe b'dievet, it's good enough. Says the Rabbi Avadya's son, no. Lo yotzi de'cheva afidu b'dievet v'tzarech l'achzer u'laniyah tefillin b'brach b'min kolodet. He says, you get zero credit. The lefty puts it on his left arm. So what do you see? And he explains it on number 28. We're not going to run through it. He says very clearly that we do not buy into this Arizal. We do not hold to this Rabbi Yaakov Tzemach. Absolutely, lefties put it on the right arm. That's the end. Nothing at all. Okay. It is interesting. There is a sheet of the Malbum. The Malbum happens to hold that if a lefty puts it on his left arm, he is Yaitse B'dievet. Mishnah Berurah said not. We saw Mishnah Berurah. Right, we saw the Mishnah Berurah said, meaning this Chiddush is not Rabbi Avadya's son's Chiddush, it's a Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah said, in last week's booklet, that if a lefty puts tefillin on his left arm, he's not Yotze B'dievet. The Malbum disagrees. The Malbum says B'dievet, he is Yotze. Why? Because again, if you see now that there are poiskim that hold, L'chatchila he should put on his left arm, so at least B'dievet it's good, but we pass it not like that. So Alach L'maisa, again, unless you're either a Satma Chassid or a Munkach Chassid or a Talmud of Klausenberger Rebbe, I wouldn't suggest necessarily doing this. But again, if you want to do it, I guess it's a nice thing to put tefillin again on your left arm after you put it already on your right arm without a bracha, maybe even on your Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, to be mekayim this chumrah of the Meiri, this chiddush of the Meiri, which still needs explanation, as well as the chiddush of Yaakov Tzema. Okay. Yeah, you probably, whatever people say in the Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. So say it again, Nachamo. Yeah, say it again, Krishma again. Again, I haven't taken a poll about how many people do or don't do this, but I would think it's something interesting. If you want to poll people and find out how many lefties I could do this, my assumption is the numbers are very low. But again, I think if you go into the Hasidic courts, the numbers should be significantly higher. Okay, now the next thing I just want to talk about very bekitzer is not so bekitzer. It's a complicated shaila, which sadly is negayah to some people, is what happens when there's paralysis. Very often, let's say a stroke victim, person has a stroke, so one side is paralyzed. So now that one side now becomes weaker. So let's say, for example, we'll keep a simple case. You have a regular righty. So for the first, I don't know, 70 years of his life, he put on tefillin on his left arm. That was his yatkeya. Also, Nebuch, he has an accident. Something happens. He gets a stroke, has an accident, whatever the case may be. So now he's paralyzed on the right side. So because he's paralyzed on the right side, what's going to happen? He trains his left arm to do all the work. So now the left arm becomes the stronger arm. The right arm becomes the weaker arm. So does he switch his tefillin? It's a real, real shailus. So let's try to go through it a little bit like this. Let's start from the beginning. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch number one, the Mechaber gives you a little bit of a description of which arm to put on tefillin. Says the Mechaber, ita yad yamino, a lefty. So depends. If he does all his activities with his left hand, that's what I call a simple lefty. No complicated. Does everything with his left arm, soup to nuts. That life is very simple. No bar mitzvah drushes, no pshetlach, and his bar mitzvah. It's easy. He's a lefty, good fighter. Says the Mechaber, what does he do? Meiniach b'smayloi. He puts it on his weaker hand. Then smayloi doesn't mean his left. It means his weaker. Shehu yamin shall call adam, which is everyone else's stronger arm. We'll see next week, 2 weeks. We'll see that when they sometimes write lefty and righty, it gets so complicated to figure out what they're talking about. You mamas had to break your head. What are they saying? You can't tell if they're saying left or right because they're using it in backwards terms. The stronger one, the weaker one, the weaker one of the world, the stronger. Everyone else is left. Everyone else is right. Because when they're half an hour, you're trying to figure out what are they talking about. So well, that's in 2 weeks. We'll get to Blineder after Tisha B'Av. I don't know why they couldn't have written in a much more simpler term, but Blineder, in 2 weeks, we'll deal with that. So be prepared for that. Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch, what the Imshel B'Shtei Yodav, let's say, guys, what we call today an ambidextrous. So Meniach B'Smoil Kolodim, he also puts on the left. Where did that come from? That was also a Gemara. That was a Gemara Menachas. The Gemara Menachas had a stira between two brises, what to do with the lefty. One brise said lefty goes on the left. One brise said lefty goes on the right. The Gemara answered, no, the one on the left was referring to an ambidextrous. That was the Gemara Menachas. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Then Kosev Yemina V'Shar Kol Ma'aseh V'Yisa B'Smoiloi. Let's say he writes with his right, and everything else he does with his left. Oi, Kosev B'Smoiloi. He writes with his left. V'Shar Kol Ma'aseh V'Yisa B'Yemin, and everything else he does with his right. So Yeshayim in the first sheet of Mechaber Sheniach Tzolim Biyad Shetosh Koicho. So we just ask, which is the weaker arm, and that's the one that wins for Tefillin, because Tefillin is up to Yod Kea, even though, again, it's so funny. If you remember the Gemara in Menachos, that was only one pshat in the Gemara was Yod Kea, but that's the pshat that we stick with. So therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, whichever one is the weaker hand, that's the win. Now, how do you measure that? So you have to look at all his activities, and you have to start measuring. Well, 75% is the right, and so you have to get, that's where it gets complicated. The next sheet is, no, Yeshayim Shayat Shekoizibah Hichashuva. Second sheet is the easy one. Writing is the deciding factor. Whatever you write with, the opposite is the left. Says the Shulchan Aruch does over here. What does he do over here? He says one is a Yeshayim Rim and one is a Stam. Right? All right, got that right? So usually in Kol Haro and the Mechaber, when he has a Stam and a Yeshayim, he usually go like the Stam, which would mean the Mechaber holds that you don't care which hand you write with, you just care in which is the majority of usage. Says the Ramah, Hago, V'hochinog. We go like the second sheet. We go like the second sheet is that we define it by writing. Okay, again, I'm not getting into this topic. It's much bigger than I want to get into. Right, they didn't use throwing balls, and they didn't use, you know, typing or other things that we use today. What I want to get into is this Shaila, Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham writes the following Shaila. He quotes from the Darkei Moshe. It's not really in the Darkei Moshe. If you look it up, you'll see it's not there. It's actually in the Beis Yosef. Okay, not a terrible mistake. As my Rebbe ninth grade always told me, never trust anything you see quoted. Don't trust Rashi when it quotes a Gemara. Don't check everything up. So I actually listened this time. I usually don't. But this time I looked it up, and it's talking down in the Darkei Moshe. It's actually in the Beis Yosef. Fine. So what does it say over there? Quotes from the Mordechai. What does the Mordechai write? B'shem HaMordechai, Din Hirgo Atzmi Lasis Iter. Let's say you have a righty. Guy's born a righty, and he trains himself to be a lefty. There's only one slot on the pitching team, and he wants it. But they need a lefty. They don't need a righty. So he trains himself to be a lefty. Okay. Says the Mordechai, have a dino ki ita shenoilot kach. He's a lefty. Who cares why he's a lefty? Born that way, trained himself. At the end of the day, he's a lefty. Says the Magen Avraham, umi uba Mordechai shom yesh chokim. But it's not so poshut. There's two shitas in the Mordechai. Do we say a self-trained lefty is really a lefty? Or do we say a self-trained lefty is still not a lefty, right? So all those people who made their kids train to be the opposite type.
That child is more proof.
Right.
The other way
right, right. It doesn't help. And if you train a lefty to be a righty, he still might not be a righty, at least for halachic purposes. So says the Magen Avraham two sheets. Now this is very negaya. Why? Because if you have a person who gets sick, so but he has to train his other arm to be stronger, to compensate for what he's missing. So according to the Magen Avraham, even if Itaka now becomes a full-blown left-handed person, he's still not a lefty. Because at the end of the day, the Magen Avraham holds, and one side, that a trained lefty is not a lefty. Comes along the Dog Gomer Revolva, the Noi de Behuda, and he says, not so fast. Writes the Dog Gomer Revolva, the near the nearest date. Sha'af ha'chokim sham, even those who argue, who are mesupik, if a trained lefty is a lefty, hainu behergel atzmei kein mertzani. That's if you did it consciously. You know, you had a bet with your younger brother, can you turn yourself into a lefty? Good. So then we have a machloekis, two sheetahs and a Mordechai. Do you become a lefty? Well, let's say heavenly sent, you are have to switch over. Dehainu, shenoylad lochayli biyaminoi. You were born with, you were, see, this is the tricky word over here. Shenoylad lochayli biyaminoi. You were born with some ailment on the right side. The noytel hakayach mimenu. And it took away your rightiness. Now, it sounds like what happens if you were born X, meaning you were born regular, and for 50 years you were a righty, and boom, then the machla hits. You can be medayik a little bit on the words of Noyde Biuda. So he writes that if a guy was born with some form of medical ailment, So what's the Dagmar Vava telling us? That this machloikis in the Mordechai about a trained lefty has nothing to do with a guy who's sick. A guy who's sick and because of the sickness has to train his arm is vaday going to be a lefty. So this Dagmar Vava, to me, sounds screaming the case of what we're talking about. Paralysis. What's the case of paralysis? The guy was born a righty, and for 50 years he used his right arm and his left arm was the Yatkeya. And now Meneshemayim, it gave him a machlo nebuch. So now he's got to switch arms. So I would think it's a double pasha to me, according to the Noida Behuda. If you have a stroke victim or a paralysis or an accident or something, then it's pasha. He should switch to his right arm. That, to me. Yes. Yes. They cut off the what? Oh, we'll see. The Bar Halacha Mamish makes that point. Bar Halacha says, based on this Noida Behuda, let's take another step. Let's say a guy that has the right arm and they cut off his hand. Because they cut off his hand, so now he's going to switch over to anything with his left. So Mishnah Berurah says, Enechanami. According to this Dagmar Revolva, he put tefillin on his right arm. Exactly. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Says Mishnah Berurah number 4. He writes, Yad Yiminoi, Vafilu Nasi Iter, Al Yidei Shehir Galat, Meachar Kach, Venoi Loilat Kach. Says Mishnah Berurah, even if you train yourself to be a lefty, Venoi Loilat Kach, you weren't born that way, Yaniach Biyamin, you still put tefillin on your right arm. So what did Mishnah Berurah just do over here? He picks sides in Machloikis and a Mordechai. The Mordechai had 2 shitas. The Magen Avraham said it's 2 shitas. And the Mishnah Berurah paskened. He says, I hold you. So in the Ver Halach, he's going to explain how did he come to this psak. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah paskened. So this does help. All those people whose parents trained them to be the opposite handed, at least they got it right for tefillin. Might have messed them up for psychology and psychological reasons. Might need therapy for that, but that's not our problem tonight. But at least with tefillin, you didn't mess them up. Because according to the Mordechai, which is ironic because the Mordechai was a German Rishon, and many people in Germany, right, Ronnie? That's where they swapped them. They should have lent the Mordechai, maybe. But I said, we pass according to Mishnah Berurah, at least, that if you talk a switch someone or you make him used to it, he becomes that type. Now, says Mishnah Berurah, Koshken, goes without saying, in min hashemayim hergilu, goes without saying, if it's heavenly terrain, the hainu, shenoyla, the chayli, biminoi, they quotes exactly word from the Noida Behuda. So, if we were to learn the Mishnah Berurah Kipshutai with the Dagmar Revolva, it would come out. If a person Nebuch has paralysis, he should have to put tefillin on his right arm. If you look in the Ber Halacha basically points out what I said to you earlier, where he says, one second, why did I paskin if it's not so simple in the Mordechai? So he says, no, I found another Magen Avraham, or I think the Magen Avraham comes out conclusively that he does put tefillin on his right arm. Yeah. Ah, that's what we got to get to. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Hopefully tonight we'll talk about, maybe not. We'll have to talk about, at what point do we look at a paralyzed body part as if it doesn't exist? So we'll get to Ramesh has a fascinating tshuva. He tells us a little bit about his father, which we don't know so much about. We'll talk about that hopefully at some point. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Ber Halacha, it should be an open and closed case. That if you have Nebuch, a paralyzed situation, paralysis, or for that matter, like Ryan pointed out, according to the, if the right hand gets chopped off, so again, he's stuck with not using his right hand, so he switches over to the left hand. In that case, he should put tefillin on his right arm. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to paskin, both the Mishnah Berurah and the Ber Halacha. That's what I'm going to get to right now, Mamish. That's the next thing I want to talk about. The question is, let's go the other way. Let's say the guy Taka has paralysis on the right side, and let's say for some reason he still puts it on the left arm. How's he going to do it? So now we have to open up the discussion of who could tie tefillin for him. So the Maram Shik has a tshuva, I'm sure everyone remembers, we had, I don't know how many months ago, we had a couple shiurim where we talked about dealing with sick patients. And we talked a little bit about if you're caring for an elderly family member who needs to be put tefillin on for them, who puts tefillin on for them. So very often you have elderly patients, so they have an aide. The aide is either not Jewish.
Israel, all the Filipinos.
They know how to do it. Right. So the question is, can a goy put on tefillin, and B, can a woman put on tefillin? Very often the aides are not male. Sometimes they're women. Or let's have an example. We'll see. Mamish a case with the Maram Shik. So take a look over in the tshuva from the Maram Shik, number 6. Maram Shik is talking about a case, like a similar case to what we have over here. Person cannot move one of his arm. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what that ailment is. Maram Shik lived in Hungary, so you got to Google Hungarian for Hungarian diseases. He knows what's going on. The guy, it's not a mental issue. It's a physical issue. He has something wrong with his arm. He writes over the Einani Mutarid Machli, the Einkiim Bas Achas Hamisham Shosai. He only has one daughter who takes care of him. That's his aide, is his daughter. He manachas the tefillin ayada, and she's the one who puts the tefillin on him. Ukshatim, she ties them. V'hu mevarach aleihem, he makes the bracha. The question was, is that okay? Now, what's the tzadi hashailo? So Maram Shik explains, there's two issues over here. Issue number one, the Maram Shik comes up with an interesting thought. He says, maybe you can only be mekayim the mitzvah if you're able to do a kshir. He who's able to tie is chayiv in tefillin. He who is unable to tie is patur min tefillin. Since this man has an ailment that he can't do kshira, he's not a part of him tefillin. That's tzad number one that he suggests. Oh, that's what he's going to discuss, right? We're going to get to that in a second. Tzad number two that he has, which is perhaps the more complex shaila, is who can do the kshira? Can you have an ena mitzvah do the kshira? Right? Can you have someone who's not mechoyev in the mitzvah do the actual mitzvah? So we mentioned in many other settings that Rabbeinu Tam in Maseches Gittin, Rabbeinu Tam writes that anyone who's not mechoyev in the mitzvah can't do the mitzvah. So, example, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you can't have an isha put up yischach. Because Rabbeinu Tam holds, since an isha is not mechoyev in sukkah, she can't build your sukkah and put up yischach. Nor can a goy, for that matter. Or according to Rabbeinu Tam, a goy or an isha can't make tzitzis. Or for that matter, tie tefillin. Now, the assumption is, even though there might be steerers in different places, we don't paskel like Rabbeinu Tam. We hold that a lady could. But this is part of his question. Part of his question is that do we say a lady can't tie it and therefore she can't put on the tefillin? So the Ram Shik answers both kashas and he says, very bekitzer, he says, first of all, the first lum, this is not true. The kshira is not part and parcel of the mitzvah. I mean, you don't say he who can't make a kshira is not chayv and tefillin. Not true. Someone else will do the kshira. You don't have to worry so much about it. And the second argument, he says, what about the fact that she's a girl? He says, so what? Women are not mufka from the parish of tefillin. The only reason why women don't put on tefillin is not because there's a special gzeiras hakosav. It's because the mitzvah says she has mangrama, which we'll get to another in a Sunday morning share after Tisha B'Av. We'll learn all about that again. So they're really not mufka from the mitzvah. They just don't do it. So why do they do others mangramas and not this mangrama? Because for tefillin, you need to have a gufnaki. So the way the Aruch HaShulchan says it, I think as a complimentary to women, not the other way people like to say it, is that really men don't have gufnaki. Not the people like to say, oh, women, they're not careful with gufnaki. That's why we don't put on tefillin. I think women are much more careful than men. They have much more control themselves. But we're mechoyev, so we have to push ourselves to do it. They're not mechoyev, so they don't have to push themselves to do it. So argues the Maram Shik, they're not mufka from the mitzvah. They're just not chayev to push themselves. Therefore, says the Maram Shik, he sees no problem whatsoever if a girl or a woman or anyone would tie the tefillin. Again, a goy might be different according to the Maram Shik, because a goy is talking not shaykhis to the mitzvah at all. That's a nekuda that might be important. Yeah. Right, exactly, right. So if you have someone who's completely mufka, that might be different. Right, right, right. Someone doing it, right. Exactly. That's really the shayla. It's a much more lumdish shayla. Is kshir part of the mitzvah? And Reb Shmuel Vosman has a tshuva on the page over here where he makes a very, very kishmak araya. How do you know kshir is not part of the mitzvah? No. We don't make a bracha. It's not reflected in the bracha. We don't say asher kedusha mitzvah and likshar es hatzvolen. It's lo anir ches hatzvolen. How you make the hanocha is not so important. So that's the Shmuel Vazza brings a raya over here, number on page 8 over here, on source 8. The kshir is not a chelik of the mitzvah, it's just a chetins. So halacha l'maisa, is this in the gate to people that have elderly family members that have AIDS? So again, according to the Maram Shik, there's absolutely no problem if a woman ties the tefillin on the man. He makes the bracha, she does the kshir. The truth is, there's a Mefurisha Mishnah Berurah number 7. Yes. Yes. Correct. That's a big shayla. That's a gavaldik shayla. That's a Rebbe Kiveger. Gavaldik Rebbe Kiveger over there. Whether or not you could say shlichus l'goy. So the shayla is, if the goy can make the bracha, do we say shlichus l'goy agansa? Exactly. Right. Right. The problem is here. You want the goy. Right. So that's a whole gishmak discussion. We make all. Rebbe Kiveger was misupik. I think the velt is part by far make all. Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah writes before us, he's talking about a case of someone who's a Gidin B'Yamin. Gidin B'Yamin means he has no right hand. The Mishnah Berurah says, what does he do? So the Mishnah Berurah writes before us. Afilo nikta loy kol ayad, chayiv b'tfilin, vivakish la'achim, shenichi olav, you'll ask someone else. So this Mishnah Berurah is a raya against the Maram Shik Safed. Maram Shik had a possibility that if you can't tie, you cannot mechoyiv. Mishnah Berurah clearly rejects that. Now, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say who should do the kshira, but he just says someone else should do the kshira. So right away, the Mishnah Berurah clearly does not hold to that assumption. Now, it's interesting, Reb Shmuel Vosner does not like this Maram Shik. He thinks in Lomdas we should maybe be more machmir to try to get a bar chiyuva. But at the end of the day, he also holds that b'di'evet, if you can't get a bar chiyuva, you can have someone else tie. But again, lechatchila, he thinks you should get a man.
Let's say the wrist you amputate from the wrist down or the whole arm.
Okay, so if there's no arm, that's a whole different conversation. That's right. Correct. That's correct. Exactly. That's right. Correct. So now here's halachah l'maaseh. What do we do? So I had this shaila, and I thought, you know, you read the sugya, you learn the Nidei Yehuda, it seems to be a no-brainer. So I called up that I think it's I know someone. I'm a member of my shul. Never had a stroke, and now he has paralysis on the right side of his arm. So I think, and we'll see what I'm going to do at the end of this year, maybe. Maybe next week's share, I think he should put tefillin on his right arm. Why? Because according to Mr. Berurah, according to the Nidei Yehuda, if now his left arm becomes stronger, so now if the left arm becomes stronger, you switch over, so you put tefillin on the right arm. That would be my, right? He was a righty. My startup was a righty. So now everything switches over, right? That should be pushed the flow. However, it's not so simple, because nothing is ever so simple. So take a look. According to the Ram Shik, also what? Yeah. Correct. Right. Or someone else.
No, but now we can do it.
If it's Shaykh, well.
Is that better?
You know, that. Right. Maybe. Now take a look over here. That's part of myself. So I called up Rabbi Forsheimer from Lakewood. Forsheimer from Lakewood is one of the Poiskei in Lakewood, one of the big Rabbanim there. And I told him this whole Stickle Torah. He told me it sounds right, but I can't pass it. So that's why I called you. I can also say, but I pay you the big bucks. Sorry to Shver Shaila, I can't tell you now. So I felt better about myself because I mutched with the sugya, and I came out and I said, I thought this is what you should do. He told me that's not pashut, which I guess either he doesn't get the shaila so often, which is good, Baruch Hashem. But the shaila should come up a lot. Yeah. So we're going to see. They talk about it a lot. So let's make a haskala, a very quick haskala. So I found this shaila addressed in the Seiris Moshe. The Seiris Moshe is not Igris Moshe. But these were Rabbi Tendler's conversations that Rabbi Moshe had with other people. So this shayla was presented to Rabbi Moshe. Mamish this shayla. Mamish exact shayla. Number 9. The shayla harev Elimelech Vluth. Elimelech Vluth was one of Rabbi Moshe's prized talmidim. Was a big rabbi in Kensington. Was nifted a few years ago. Mahu adin b'mashu. This case. The machmas iru mochi. Anyone know what that means in modern day English? No. Stroke. Iru mochi means something happened to the brain. The stroke. Rachmon of the Tzlan. Nase yode hayamin mishutak. His right hand becomes paralyzed. Mishutak is the modern word. Silent means paralyzed. Ha'im ze nechshev ki yode hakeya. Does it now become the weaker arm? Umimela me od yesho deshanoit ulanech tfulan al yode hayamini. And now we should switch over and put mamish arshayel. Oy loy, or not. So obviously it's not such a simple shayel because you have to ask it to Ramosha. Va'omer Rabbeinu. Well, we'll leave everyone with a real hangover. Listen to what Ramosha says. Moshe says, take a look in Shagasai, he talks about it. This is a typical bar mitzvah drasha. Even though logically you're right, that now his right is more weaker. So information, maybe not. Maybe this is not considered a weaker hand. In a Yosef Cholish Klapi Asmael. I hear the lumnus from Ramosha. Ramosha says one is not weaker or stronger than the other. They're both, if the pshat is, the paralysis overtakes everything. You can't look at it as which one's stronger, which is weaker, because the paralysis changed the whole playing field. So we would have thought, Hagufa, yeah. The paralysis now gets judgment into the weaker and the stronger. Ramosha said no. Exactly. It says Ramosha, Elagam, Yashalat Mashun, Dover, he pushes, don't have a functioning right arm. It's not like he has a weaker right hand. He has no right hand. Wow. That's what Moshe wants to say. So believe that after Tisha B'Av, we'll pick up from here. We'll see. Maybe that's not the longest. So believe that the next Tuesday we'll talk about in Yoni Tisha B'Av, and then the week afterwards we'll come back where we left off over here.